paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, it is that time of the week. It is time for the True Wealth Radio Show on this, the greatest Tuesday you have had all week. I'm your host, Dave Littlejohn, and in studio with me today is
Matt Dixon
and
Blakelyn Allspaugh.
Because we've decided Blake may as well be on the show on occasion because we make her set cameras up and set up the live stream and everything. So we got that working.
She adds a different angle to the show. It's raw. It's fresh.
Yeah. Raw. Fresh. If you are streaming on, if you go check out the live stream, what you're going to realize also is it's ridiculous. Everybody is, so Matt, you're fighting like a headache.
Yeah.
I'm fighting being old, and Blake's just fighting to fit in right now.
Hey, more power to her, right?
Exactly. So welcome aboard. We have got kind of a fun show, I think. It sounds fun, only because this one I think we can all relate to. If you don't relate to some of this, then I want to like figure out how
maybe
to get you to
call in. Maybe they're just
not
an American.
That would be one consideration.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably not true.
Over-exaggerate, David. I've been trying to teach you this for years.
Matt's got marketing lingo down. It's like, Dave, take something subjective and then blow it out of proportion. People love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm so bad at this.
When you go out to lunch, it's either the worst food you've ever had or the best food you've ever had.
Exactly. That's Matt's perspective of everything.
It's really funny because I am conditioned, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm on the spectrum or something about this. I just can't quite go there. It bugs me when somebody says the best. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, the best is a pretty high bar. Like, the best coffee ever. And I'm like, it tastes like coffee, but I can't really call this the best ever.
What if you just look at it as, like, they're just really positive?
Yeah, you can't live in mediocre land,
no.
Right? Like, everything needs to be either great or horrible, and then
they just have a great outlook of everything.
Yeah, ride
they're
the roller coaster.
Everything is just so great.
Ride the roller coaster.
All right, so everybody, have you ever seen The Incredibles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
All
remember
of them.
The bad guy was Syndrome, right?
Yes.
And Syndrome has he's like mad about the supers because they have superpowers and he doesn't. So mm-hmm. He creates fake superpowers, right? And then he decides he's going to sell them to everybody for the highest bidder. And he says, because when everybody's super, no one is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is the thing. If everything is the best or the worst, it's like, then it's never the best or the worst.
Mm.
And that's kind of my take.
Each day is a new day.
Yeah.
Each day is a new day.
Except Matt. If I tell you that I think something is the best, do you believe me?
No.
Interesting.
Never used that word.
Right. If I told you I thought something was really good,
he's saying,
he'd be like, it's probably really good because Dave never says that.
Right. I mean, true. He's saying since he never uses the word the best, when he does come to you and say it's the best, you're going to be like, oh, wow, it must actually be the best because he's never said that before.
It's true. So it's almost like the boy who cried wolf.
Exactly.
And it's probably not great for marketing because in the investment landscape, you know, they tend to respond to the hyperbolic stuff like, you know, the best IRA ever. And I'm like, how can you even say that? That's not a thing. But
it's easy. You just put the word best in front of it and then it is what it is.
True.
It doesn't work with trust for me. What could I tell you?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I just have to say, I cannot take you seriously in those sunglasses, David.
I can. Your credibility score went from like a 78 to a 73.
Would it help if I was way more serious the whole time?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay. No.
You look like you're off of that movie. What's that movie?
The Matrix.
Movie.
No.
What?
Men in Black.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. I am kind of... Yeah, it's what so whatever.
He's stumped.
All right, so David, when we were putting this show together, do you want a little bit of backdrop on how this whole thing came about?
Yeah, first of all, All right, go ahead and tell the story because it is hilarious.
Yeah. So as a joke, I sat down at my computer and I have a prompt writing script that I've built. And I prompted it with, let's create the worst radio show we've ever done. Just out of curiosity, right? Like, what's the worst? Because remember, I'm a man of extremes. And it gave me a really awful show. And I'm like, gosh, that's like really cringeworthy. And I said,
I need to know, what did it give you?
You can actually say it on radio if you want to. It's like, it won't get you in trouble, but it is sort of foul.
Can he say it on the radio? Are you sure?
Won't get you in trouble
when you're wearing sunglasses, you can
say anything. No, but,
when you're wearing sunglasses, you can say whatever anything. You want because you're unrecognizable. It's like a mask.
Okay.
No one really knows.
Our listeners are going to think it's funny. I'm going to let you say
it. No, it's a cliffhanger. So,
okay. Never mind. How I did that. Not going to say, it's like, no, my parents might hear it.
Right. Yeah.
So, but then I prompted it, let's make this an even worse show. And when I read through it, at first I'm like, yeah, this is really bad. But then I realized, no, it might be the best radio show we've ever produced.
You know what, though?
What
you know what's crazy?
Like
it's so bad that it's so
good. I was going to say, you guys say that every time, and I love it.
No, but this time it might be the best.
You know, the irony of all of this is I'm saying best, and what do I say at the start of the show? It's the best Tuesday you've had all week.
Yep, the best Tuesday you've had all week.
Of course,
that is the truth.
Because you can say that.
Yeah.
It's the only Tuesday you've had all week. and it will be the only Tuesday you have all week. So there you go.
Yep.
So what we're talking about, David, is we're going to look at the two different types of investors, right? On the furthest extremes of each other.
And I'm going to throw rocks at definitions all day because I think maybe my job is to be the pessimist and you're the optimist. Is that what happened? Are you the good cop?
Yeah.
Wait, then what's Blake?
She's just a referee.
Oh, all right. Let's roll with that.
Can you be the referee today?
I can be the referee.
You going to like vote on who's right and who's wrong too?
Yes.
That is no fair. She's going to pick your side every time.
I think we should make shows about how Matt and I just team up on David the whole time.
that would be a good show.
Okay. We'll try that sometime. We'll let the listeners send in the questions, and we'll take turns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, very good. Okay. So, David, the title of the show today is Coupon Kings and Crypto Queens. Okay.
Okay.
And so we're just walking through like personality traits. You've got people that are extreme, like they get their kind of like endorphins of like, I clipped a coupon and I saved a dollar. And then you've got the other person who is more of the gambler and they're like, let me go buy some investment like crypto and just hope it goes to the moon, 100% risk on. So
I love this because this to me, all right, you want me to like already wet blanket this thing?
Sure.
I could tell you.
Please do.
So the presupposition of this is flawed. Ha 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 ha.
Okay. Right?
The idea, like, because inherent in the definition of this, oh, so you're either this or that. And I'm going to be like, you can be both of these, by the way.
Don't give away the ending.
Oh.
Jump to the end of the show.
Well,
okay, that's the show. Wrap it up.
Okay, look at the time. I like it, but it's when you start with the term investor, like the first thing I want to do is throw rocks at you. Mm. And they're like, bro, why would you call this investing behavior? Because this is consumer behavior, it's buyer behavior, but I don't know that I can call coupon clipping or crypto investing.
That's fair. I'll take that one.
So I'm like, all right, well, why don't we start with talk to me about like these are human behaviors that people have, right?
Yeah.
And I think it is fun to figure out, like, you probably lean somewhere on the spectrum, by the way. I do think you're right, man. Mm-hmm. I think most people, they gravitate to one of these more than the other. Like, it doesn't mean they won't.
Right.
They just gravitate, you know?
So, like, if you're listening to the show, maybe try and self-identify as we walk through this. Which way do you lean? And then how do we maybe kind of become more in the middle? Is that fair?
Or let's do this, right? Let's talk, like, which way do you guys lean? And then let's talk about a little about, well, why do you think you lean that way? And what parts of it are normal? And then what parts of it are
pure neurotic?
Like, yeah, like your thinking's actually maybe off, right? This ends up being kind of a study of behavioral finance, by the way. If you really wanted to unpack what we're talking about, under the hood of this is the study of behavioral finance. How and why we make decisions.
Okay.
And so if you can better understand that, you're going to become more successful. But let's start with this simple and relatable idea. Some of you guys are big risk takers. And some of you guys aren't even thinking about risk. You're like big, you're coupon clippers, you're savers, right?
Yeah.
You drive revenue, you cut expenses. What's it going to be, right?
Sure. That's a great frame up.
Okay. So let's start, like, define for me, like, what are the two?
Okay. Right? So oddly enough, most Americans are actually couponers to some extent, some way more than others. But right now the stats say that 92% of people are going out of their way to clip coupons, but half of the people that are clipping them forget to redeem them at all.
So I don't know about you. So we shop at a number of places, but Fred Meyer's is one of the ones, and they've got like this digital coupon thing. And
you take a picture like with Safeways?
The app. I think so. You like take the barcode, you slap it with the app, and then it links to your number.
Yep.
And when you put in your code, like you get the coupon.
Yeah.
That
I
to
used
me
to get addicted
cool.
to that. My wife hates it.
I kind of am on that train.
Really?
Which one, the addicted or the hates it?
The hates it, because really? I'm kind of old school. I don't want to have to pull out my phone and scan the barcode on the. I want to grab and go, cool. And if I have the coupon in my pocket, cool, perfect.
You've
take it up
also
there.
Also, got two kids. You don't have the time. You're trying to.
No,
make
I
sure
don't have the time.
Don't.
So I'm gonna just buy it at the price that it is not discounted.
So for me, I put like my grocery list, because yes, shop from a list. You don't buy as many things you don't need. I still buy them anyway, don't worry. But like, I open the app immediately as I walk in, and then I can just hit the little barcode and it's there, and it takes almost no time because it's while I'm buying it. The coupon's next to the thing I'm buying, so I just zap it right when I grab it.
So do you want to hear a dirty secret?
Tell me.
I might be the ultimate couponer.
And my That's wife, true, by the way.
My wife actually despises it. There was a season where we shopped at Safeway religiously, and I would go there.
Like you pray before you went in?
I got to the point where I literally,
it was a religious experience.
Yeah, it was.
It was like,
it was,
Lord
like,
bless this shopping trip.
Oh man, it got
bad. It's not
bad.
A bad idea these days,
it's true,
to be honest.
The way prices are, that's probably real.
You don't understand how bad it got. It got to the point to where I wouldn't buy anything unless it was part of one of the sales, right? And so I'd go through and I'd be like, okay, $5 if you spend 30 or more. Oh, I get $4 off that, 50% off my meat. And I'd come home and she'd be like, why do you have like Doritos and orange and a thing of toilet paper?
And nothing that's on the list that I gave you.
100%. And I'd be like, I saved 80% on this trip. I got all of this for like $20. And she'd be like, cool, now go back to the store and get all the other stuff. And then I'd end up at Sherm's or some other
By
place.
By the way, you and your wife are like the yin and the yang, you know, like your relationship. You really do this because you've talked to me about like the gas theory too. Like she's just wherever it is, I just get the gas. I don't even look at the price.
She doesn't. You could ask her right now, what does a gallon of gas cost? She won't even be in the ballpark. She has no idea.
Yeah.
What? No way.
100%.
She would be in the ballpark.
She never looks at
like,
the price of gas.
What does it cost? And
ever.
She's like, 13 units.
She could literally pull up to a gas station that's $20 a gallon. And she would fill up because she never looked at the price.
No way.
Oh, way.
She's.
I don't know. It sounds because,
dude.
I don't want it to sound like you're throwing your wife under the bus here.
She's just like, the price is what it is, and all the gas stations are within 10 cents of each other, so it's not a big deal to me. Just like, if I need gas, I'm gonna pull over and get gas.
Right.
Now,
hey,
she
hey.
Has shown improvement, though.
Well, that's good. All right, good. So I'm going to pause you
not
on this
gas,
one, right?
That's, I was gonna,
not with gas.
No, guys, we got to look at the clock. It's
oh,
crazy.
Great.
You know what?
We
must be having
clock.
Fun. We're like blazing
forget the
through
break.
This. We'll grab a break. When we come back, let's talk for just a brief second before we transition to the concept of like extreme couponing. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, Matt, you're almost there. This will be fun. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And Blake Linnallspaugh.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt Dixon
and
Blake Linnallspaugh.
And we're having some fun. We already ran long on the first segment. Now we got to talk maybe a little faster. Guys, Reminder, you can grab a podcast at littlejohnfs.com. It'll post tomorrow, and you can get caught up with us. We're also streaming live on YouTube if you want to see Matt in sunglasses. Blake and I gave up. So here's the question.
Losers.
What do you know about extreme couponing?
I know that when people get too far down that rabbit trail, they end up with a basement full of stuff, and they have like 20 years of toilet paper, and stuff starts going bad, or they're selling it and having garage sales, which
like,
also
pains
them.
I have 11 jars of spaghetti sauce, but it only cost me $3.
So bathing in spaghetti sauce.
Maybe it's a thing.
Mm, you wouldn't even have to get a spray tan. The red hues of the sauce would start to give you a tan.
Go on, Matt. Mm-hmm. We're all listening now.
Yes.
Carry on.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody out there is listening, wondering where is he going with this.
Hey, I would totally be down for anything
spaghetti
to make
sauce,
me
tan?
Look tanner.
Hey, if you got it for like 2 pennies a jar, it might be cheaper than going to the tanning salon.
I don't think the tone would be right. Mm. I might look like a tomato.
Blake. I'm like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never know until you try.
Yeah.
True.
Let's talk about the next thing on the list, shall we? So extreme couponing gets you a lot of spaghetti sauce. We've established that.
Yep.
What's the other end of the spectrum here?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the crypto thing in our intro.
Yes.
So I think this is kind of hilarious because we pick on this one. I struggle with crypto from an investment perspective because I still look at this and I think, you know, every time somebody explains to me why Bitcoin's a miracle, I go, yeah, but what does it do? And their whole point is like, well, no, it exists in this ecosystem with these characteristics and therefore it represents value. And I'm like, but it's value referenced to what? And then somebody says, well, like, but the fiat currencies are like that too. And then, you know, except the fiat currencies have like a military behind them. And so like Bitcoin
has a military behind it.
Go on.
A military of keyboard warriors.
Oh yeah, they're very dangerous.
Those Reddit board guys are dangerous.
It's
we
true.
Saw what they did to GameStop for all of a couple weeks.
It was remarkable.
Yeah.
These are the same guys that talk about eating crayons, right?
Have you ever ate a crayon?
I have not, so.
Might be the best experience of your life.
It seems like it might be a good texture. It might be a good texture. It seems like it might.
It could be.
Like, Matt,
dude, there's
you are a financial professional.
There are people that are addicted to eating like
chalk,
copper. Remember the people?
Toilet paper.
Yeah.
Okay, this is deteriorating.
It's because they clip too many coupons and they're like, what's for dinner? Spaghetti sauce and toilet paper.
Downhill faster than I had imagined. Okay, so my new role is babysitter. Got it.
Yeah.
Well, Blake failed her job as babysitter.
You were supposed to be
referee.
Oh, my bad.
Come on.
Oh, I forgot.
We gave you
here.
One job.
Put me back in, coach. Oh, wait, I'm the referee.
Yeah. Like, you weren't out.
We gave her too much control too early.
Okay, we're going to get back on this, right? So the whole thing about crypto is it's the other extreme.
It is, because do you remember back in like 21, 22 or something? Didn't Bitcoin drop like over 70% in like a year or something? And then it whipsaws and goes up 100% the next 12 months or something like that. It was a crazy, crazy experience. But a lot of those people were like, buy and hold and it's going to go to the moon.
And, you know, so far, those people have been right.
Yeah. I literally had a friend who in high school sold all of his Microsoft shares that his parents gave him, mm-hmm. took all the money and just bought Bitcoin, and to this day still holds it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm like, congratulations. You're probably sitting on, you know,
a good chunk.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's really interesting.
It can work.
The joke that I know is that how do we know what Bitcoin is worth? Because it's priced in dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, so what does that mean?
When your dollar erodes and your Bitcoin doesn't, you look like a genius.
Except that it's still priced in dollars. You know, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So all of this to get back to, all right, I don't want to have the conversation. Somebody out there is screaming like, nope, crypto's the next best thing ever. And I'm still looking at it and going, and maybe this is me just defending my position because like I haven't bought crypto. Mm-hmm. And so it's me kind of digging in and saying like, nope, not going to do it. Like, I don't want to be that guy.
But
I just literally am like, I don't get it. Like, I don't, there's no business model to Bitcoin. It has these characteristics that say, well, it's a digital asset and it's finite.
But there's a lot of other really, I'm air quoting this, risky mm-hmm. investments, right, that are out there that aren't crypto that could yeah. apply in this situation. You because know, we're kind of comparing
investors
the two.
In NVIDIA have probably made as much money as they have in Bitcoin.
Probably.
If you look, if you bought like shares of NVIDIA pre-IPO and you still own them today, you're probably up as much or more than Bitcoin.
Right. So you kind of got two different mindsets. You've got that coupon logic, which was like the discipline and consistency. And then you've got more of the crypto type brain where it's like, I have this vision of it exploding and I'm just going to be patient yeah. and see where it goes.
Well, and it's interesting because in between, it kind of is like there's the extreme saver and then there's the gambler.
Yeah. What if
right? that's kind yeah. of the spectrum that we're describing here mm-hmm. in behaviors. But I think what we really should do is talk about what drives the decision under the hood of this. Like, why do some people lean this way and what are they thinking and what are they maybe missing?
What if it's like just fear based? What if that's what's pushing it?
Go on.
Well, like some people are really like driven by this fear of missing out. Right. And so they're like, well, if everyone's making all this money in NVIDIA, I need to make money in NVIDIA. And I know they've already been making money for the last 2 years, but I can't miss it. So even if the train's left the station, I'm jumping in, right? Because I can't live with the fear of missing out on being part of the movement.
Yeah, I think that sometimes it's just greed. People yeah. are making money, and I want to make money, so I'm going to go do it too.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if that's a fear of missing or just a greed of and chasing.
I think that fear of missing out goes both ways, though. Like the couponer, they might fear missing out on the savings, right? Because that's what I fear. I go in there and I'm like, oh, the beef is priced at $6 a pound. What if I could have opened the app and got it for $3?
I think
even
that,
if you already had
see,
plenty
I think
of
that, Matt, you turned things beef. Into a game. I think you've gamified couponing personally. And
maybe
there's a competition yeah. with yourself to save money.
Maybe.
And it's like you're losing if you pay full price.
Yeah.
Right. And I've just seen the way that you kind of behave in all of these things. And so for you, it's literally the game of negotiation. And the funny thing is, like, does it matter where the price was set? Because if I double the price of something and then tell you it's half off and you accept the price,
you're still going to feel pretty
like
good.
Hey, that's why I quit shopping on Prime Day, because I've noticed that they jack the prices of things up the
yes.
couple days before Prime Day. And it's like, you actually spend more thinking that you're getting a 50% off deal when it was like $2 cheaper last week. So I'm like, no, I'm boycotting that because I've caught
who
up
knows,
to your foolish
yeah,
games.
Who knows if you're even actually getting
yeah.
any
of the
type
time
of deal.
You're not.
Everybody listen closely. Notice what he said. I've caught on to your foolish games. What did we say earlier? It's like a game to Matt. It's a competition.
Dang it. Is that a point for David?
Possibly.
The referee is debating. We'll confer later.
Yeah. Wasn't trying to get a point. Was trying to say, guys, listen, everybody out there.
It's behavior.
This is a human behavior, right?
Yep.
And so what Matt's illustrating is part of his wiring. And so what it's important then for Matt to know, well, I'm wired like this. And so
yeah.
sometimes that can be really beneficial. But other times it may cloud my judgment.
Right, because you
so
can miss out on an opportunity.
Right.
Or if you feel like you got, like, it's bitten me before where it's like, Matt, you should have just bought the thing. That was a smoking deal.
Yeah. It can just make you defer because you're trying to get a better deal.
Yep.
It can make you buy things you wouldn't have otherwise bought
mm-hmm.
just because,
that's
you know, oh, it's on sale and it's a win if I get it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you find yourself maybe engaging or disengaging from the reason for the purchase because you're playing the game.
I think part of why I like it though is sometimes it's like, then comes the story, right? You know you wanted this thing. You knew you're only willing to spend X amount. And then it's like, I waited 3 years, but I finally got it for $700 instead of $2,000. So, haha, I win.
Yeah. And then the flip side of this is, yeah, but you went 2 years or 3 years without it.
Without it, yep.
And
that
so
is
did you
the,
win? Right?
Exactly.
What's the utility? And so this is really interesting. Let's keep this in mind.
I feel
there's
like
the gamification. That's a real thing, right?
We need to bring a psychologist in immediately.
I'm gonna try to play amateur psychologist with you, and so I want everybody to think about this term: the utility of the purchase. Okay, I know, boo, right?
You're taking the wind out of my sails. Say it a different way that makes me more excited.
The utility of the perp.
No, not like that.
say the same thing in a different tone.
No, no, a completely different way with different words.
Different words.
Yes.
It's got to be. Well, I would say look at one, the return on the investment, but also look at the time to benefit. Okay, like when is it gonna pay off, right? So you kind of got to ground yourself in like, am I giving up opportunity, right? What's my opportunity cost look like, and what's my real cost? And so we're trying to weigh those. So I like to wrap it up in the word utility because I think it's a good one for our listeners. Remember, like utility of purpose is one where you're like, what does that mean? I'm like, oh, I heard this guy talk about it, and I think it means. So I'll unpack it more in a second, but look at the time. We got to take another break.
Jeez.
So,
already.
So stick around. When we come back, you want to understand, hey, I've got this psychology. We're going to unpack other types of psychology. Maybe you're not the person playing the game. Maybe you got a different strategy. Maybe you just want it done as fast as possible, right? We'll cover that and more when we come back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And Blake Lynn-Allspaugh.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Show. We are talking about, it's really behavioral psychology, but that doesn't get anybody interested, right? So we're just talking about, you know, do you love clipping coupons? Do you love the game of finding things on sale? Do you love the thrill of trying to invest or speculate in something that's going to like shoot up in value really high? And like, where does this stuff come from? It's like everybody out there listening, like we all know you're somewhere on the spectrum, right? Like, nope, I love me a coupon. I love me a great deal. And somewhere else that's like, nope, give me a hot stock tip. I love it, right? Where do you live on that ratio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been talking a little bit about this, and there's a couple things. One, I wanted to remind our listeners the concept of like, I think using a utility as a filter is super helpful, right? Can we talk about your vehicle for a sec, Matt?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Like you mentioned during the break that you kind of resent the vehicle a little bit, right?
Yeah, I do.
Just give the backdrop for our listeners to understand.
So every vehicle I had ever bought up until this point, I had either like haggled to like 50% of asking price, or you know, it's a new rig and I got it $10,000 or $20,000 below MSRP. And then I turn around and I sell it for more than I bought it for. And here we've got a kid on the way, we've got a dog, and my wife is driving this tiny little Toyota Corolla that, I mean, I'm 6'6". I can't fit a car seat behind me and drive. My knees would be in my chin. And I'm like, all right, we gotta get an SUV, right?
It didn't occur to him to put the kid on the passenger side.
Well, no, that's not an option.
Oh, I thought about it, but I'm like, how inconvenient is it going to be to like always have to move the car seat to be on the other end, right? Like otherwise, then
whether
we both can't drive.
Also, didn't discuss the quick clip bucket thing too. But
and
whatever.
Then you got the dog that's breathing in your face, and I'm like, I can't do it, right? And that thing's high mileage, and I'm like, no, we're getting a new rig. Now you look at this is COVID.
By the way, to the official in the room, like my job right now is to make him feel even worse about this until we're done with, until the utility.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right? Got it.
So far you've rationalized getting rid of the Toyota. Go on.
Yeah. And now I have to justify to myself buying this other rig. And I'm like, okay. So I scour everywhere. Everything's over MSRP because it's COVID. And all the used rigs are the same price as the new ones. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to buy something, it better come with a crazy huge warranty. And somehow I better find it like at MSRP, not a markup above. So I finally do that. And I'm like, well, the payment is what it is. That's reasonable. And I get a lifetime unlimited mileage warranty. Literally, like unlimited. I can go to 500,000 miles, blow the motor. They have like no questions asked. They replace it.
This is I would buy that.
Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute. If I pay full price, at least I can make my wife drive this thing into the dirt, blow it up, and then get it replaced. So I'm like, watch me actually use that warranty, because most people won't. It's only good for the original owner. And I'm like, everyone gets rid of something after 5 or 10 years. I won't. I will make that warranty pay for itself. I will get my money back on this thing. So it's going to hit 300,000 miles, blow a motor, and we're going to push it even further.
And this is this is a conversation that takes place offline between Coach Dave and Matt. Right?
No, no, no.
Because what would you say the utility of that vehicle was for you and your family?
The utility was, it was great. It's actually saved our lives, actually. The technology package in it. We were on the freeway.
Safety systems were a benefit.
Yep. A semi-truck cut us off. I was in the passing lane. The vehicle, before I even saw it happen, it slammed on the brakes, and we didn't get squished between a semi-truck and the median. So I'm like, well, we spent $40,000, but it saved everyone's life. So probably worth it.
Probably worth it.
Yeah.
Right? And beyond that, was there a better option?
There was not.
And did you need it?
And I needed it.
Okay. And so what you are somewhat resentful of is the timing was not within
it wasn't
your
perfect
control.
Yeah. And I had to pay full price. Now if it had been 2 or 3,000 below MSRP, I probably would be fine with it.
And so the interesting thing is, over the last few years, has that made a material difference in the quality of life? Like the overage of MSRP?
Oh, the vehicle has been great. Like, we use it all the time. It's more than paid for itself.
Right. And how well do you sleep knowing that if anything goes wrong, it's not your problem?
That's true, right? Because it's only got, 15,000 miles, an unlimited mileage warranty, and we don't owe anything on it. So it's like, whatever.
So do you actually have resentment towards it?
Yes.
For what?
Just the fact that it was so expensive. Like, I don't know.
But
I'm still living
you're
in
living,
2012
off-
when a vehicle was $5,000, not $40.
It's the 50-cent Snickers bar
it is.
Phenomenon.
It
right?
is. I'm like,
you have an anchor point in your mind, and you just, and so, and it really what this is the exercise of like, bro, let it go. Right?
Which
you have, really, for this story. Yeah. You're telling us this story. I know this doesn't keep you up at night. It just,
no.
Like, in the scheme of things, this is one where it didn't feel like a W.
No.
But it probably was. You're just not going to see it that way because of the circumstance.
Right. Well, go back to 2012.
Would a 2012 car be able to do and satisfy you the way that this car has?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably like, not.
The referee wins point blank.
So the whole idea here, though, it's really tricky, right? Because isn't it funny how we anchor to different prices for different reasons, okay? And how that anchor price was arrived at? Like, what the heck does MSRP have to do with anything?
True.
That's never the
real
price.
And now you fast forward 3 years later or whatever, and that same rig's like 48, so it's like...
Right. And so in the scheme of this is the challenge, right? And I think it's important as... We need to know this about ourselves, right? What is the thing that makes you tick, okay? For the person that bought big, here's the other thing. There's some people that have their survivorship bias, right? This is the idea that the best investors aren't lucky. What if they are? There's just, they had to get lucky several times in a row and they're the only ones left. And so it looks like they're really talented. This, by the way, is one of my favorite things in like business. Most businesses that start up fail, okay? But the handful that don't, and then some people become really successful, and what do? They parade out and they say, well, you gotta follow your dream and, you know, be passionate about it and, you know, wake up early and do all the things that they say. It's like, those are probably all things you have to do, right? But if you do all those things, it doesn't guarantee you'll be successful either. They just were, and, you know, the all of the things in life did align, and I'm not trying to discount all the things they put into it, right? It's just interesting that some people will just immediately equate the fact that they were successful with what they did, and they'll discount the idea that there were other influencing statistics, right?
Right.
My favorite example is, so Matt, you know how you don't like the car thing?
Right.
The first house that I moved into was a total meltdown,
right?
We moved in 2000, the very end of 2005, and so like we're talking mid-December 2005, and we were going to own it for 2 years.
Yeah, right before 08.
And then 2008 shows up. By 2006, the house was upside down, right? Or sorry, we move in 05. At the end of 07, at the 2-year point, the market collapses. And we literally are upside down in the house that we bought.
For a lot of years.
Yes. Yeah. And so what was supposed to be a 2-year situation turned into a 12-year situation. And we were just structurally trapped.
But at the same time, even though you were trapped, you still liked the home and you liked being there.
Well, we did. We built a home that we liked and we're grateful for that. And so it's not that I resent the house. Right? The timing just was what it was. Like, you know, I can't help the fact that when we needed a house and when it happened, it's just what happened.
Right.
Right? It's just the nature of, like, that's when I was married and I had kids and I had to do this. Yeah. So it's going to happen sometimes. And, you know, there are elements of good luck and bad luck. Right? Mm-hmm. Had my timing been 4 years earlier or 4 years later, it would have looked very different.
True.
But just where I happen to be in the spectrum of all the things. Okay. And again, it's not worth it to resent it, right? It's not.
Mm-hmm.
But it still comes up. And the problem, though, is it does color the way you approach money.
Yep.
You go through something like that, and it alters your perspective, right? Changes your parameters for how you assess risk. Okay. And so for you, like, vehicle buying looks different now because you had to do it during COVID.
True.
Okay. For me, real estate looks different because I got blown up so hard during the 2008 mix-up, right?
Yeah.
If I were to ask you, am I a decent real estate investor? What would you say?
I mean, proof is kind of in the pudding, right? Like, been a lot of good transactions that have been favorable.
Right. And yet, the very first one that I did was a catastrophe. By paper standards, right? And somebody will say, well, you had to live somewhere. So, yeah, but the truth is, I would have been money had to have rented.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you do the math, I would have had more money in my pocket had I been a renter than an owner at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's just the reality of things. You know, there are different benefits to ownership. I don't have to worry about, you know, whether or not the landlord lets me put a nail in a wall.
True.
But still, those were issues, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, everything in your life plays into the psychology of how you deal with money. Okay.
Yeah.
So what we need to talk about then is, great, you started the show this way, Matt. Okay, we got these two extremes. Some people it's risk, some people it's saving money. We're all wired for these things. I think the dirty secret is we probably have a little bit of all of these features in every one of us.
It's true. Mm-hmm. And how do you marry those mindsets together to where you can have a balance in your life to where you're not crazy Matt out here, you know, yelling at car salesmen to give you $100 off versus,
well,
you know,
and I wanna
versus
say,
throwing,
like,
your whole life savings at Bitcoin.
It's like before we even came to the studio, we kind of quizzed each other. And when we asked Blakelyn, hey, you know, where do you land on the spectrum? And she's like, I don't think I'm on the spectrum, which is a fun answer. And it's fun that you're the referee today because we're going to talk a little bit about, okay.
Can we put her on the spot?
Yeah, we can.
Yes.
I think we can. Uh-huh. But we're going to take our last break. So when we come back, how do we balance these features within ourselves? How can we play referee for ourselves to make better financial decisions? That and more. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
Matt Dixon.
Blakelyn Allspaugh.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the home stretch of the True Wealth Show, where I, your host, Dave Littlejohn, am in studio with
Matt Dixon
and Blakelyn Allspaugh.
And we're about to put Blake on the hot seat. Why?
Yay.
Because she was making jokes about me being
dumb. Did you ever think you'd be here sitting in the seat having to talk to 20, 30,000 people at a time?
30,000?
Yeah.
No.
100%.
That's ambitious, but I love your optimism.
Round up. We've been through this all show.
Ray, when someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes. Sorry, it's a Ghostbusters reference. Maybe you guys are too young.
Yeah, I definitely am.
Everybody listening, though, out there, like most of my people that listen here, because let's be honest, my crowd that listens to talk radio, they have probably seen Ghostbusters.
Yeah, they know what you're talking about.
You get me.
Yeah. I was only allowed to watch John Wayne growing up, so.
John Wayne would have not been Ghostbusters material.
I think that's why I like old school Winchester lever action 30-30s so much.
What's not to like about that, though, really?
Right. Yeah. What were we going to ask her?
So, what are you going to ask me?
Blake, you're the referee today.
Yes.
And when we quizzed you about where do you land on the spectrum of risk-taking and coupon clipping, you said no.
I said, don't talk to me.
Something like that. And so, okay, first of all, you're not much of a coupon person. Why?
I don't have time. It's too much work. I would rather just take the loss, which is not even really a loss because
if you don't look at the coupons, you don't know what you didn't save.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sure.
That's kind of my, yeah, I don't, I'm just going to pay for what I need to buy plus a little bit more than I need to buy.
because yes.
Plus things that I also don't need.
Because it makes you feel a little good.
But yeah, I have a 3-year-old. Just doesn't work for me at this point.
This, by the way, is a super important thing to consider, right? Like, I'm not going to shame you for this in any way, shape, or form. It totally makes sense because at the end of the day, you want to know the thing that people least often calculate is the value of their own time.
Exactly.
And the problem is we tend to think of it as like, well, if I'm not working, my time doesn't have value. I said, no, because you get to put your time somewhere.
Oh my gosh, you're making a shameless plug for why you hire a financial advisor, because you don't have the time to do it yourself. So you call us at 541-375-0898 and Little John Financial can solve it for you.
That was not even
pretty good.
That wasn't even a pre-recorded clip.
He
just rattled it off.
That wasn't even like an advertise. Like that was just on the spot. Okay.
Okay. I almost lost the point. I didn't, by the way.
You can't shake this guy.
That was just.
No, you can't.
I mean, like, no, we're going to relentlessly talk about. No, you can't get more time at the end of the day. And so we all make substitutions and trades with the time, right? And so you're not necessarily directly trading time for money, but when you take time to try to save money, it does take more time. And so if you don't save enough to be worth your time, what was the point?
Yeah.
And I think the challenge is for those of us that are like coupon clippers and deal hunters, sometimes you can get so engrossed in the game that the return actually isn't there.
Isn't worth it.
All this time and effort into it. And what you got was a dopamine hit, but you didn't get a financial result that was beneficial.
Yeah.
Right? I say right on this show all the time.
It's okay.
You want to know something completely off track? Sometimes when I rattle off the phone number to the work, I'm like, did I just give my cell phone number out? Because it starts the same way.
Does it?
Yeah, 5413. And so I'm like, don't give out that cell phone number.
I've come close before.
Have you?
Yeah.
So I have a thought on that, what you just said about is it going to be worth the time? If you take all this time doing the couponing and then save all this money, but then you're saying that sometimes maybe it won't turn out to be worth it. The time that you were taking to do the couponing, what else would you be doing? Would you be making money in this time?
It's so
why is that not
that is the crux of
well
the,
that's the great gotcha though.
Okay, because what else would you be
this
doing?
Question. What's the value of reading your kid a bedtime story? What's it worth in dollars?
No dollars.
Right? There's no way to put a price tag on that.
Yeah.
And when we really get down to the brass tacks of when we talk about the True Wealth Show. I disagree with the premise that everything's going to get distilled down to dollars and cents. There are some things that, you know, watching a sunset, I don't know how you put a price on that. I have sat on the Oregon coast and watched the sunset.
While couponing.
And, doggone you, Matt. You son of a gun.
Yeah, so that you're not wasting time. You have to be couponing while you're watching the sunset.
Right. I mean, that moment is still a memory that is locked in there. And I'm like, that was awesome. And
yeah.
I don't care.
That's where the term
what
priceless
it costs. Right.
Comes in.
And so I think those things still matter. And so the question is, was it worth trading your time for that? Whatever you wanted to do with your time. Was it worth it? And I know my joke is when I started the business, we had to recycle paper clips. It was money was super tight. And so you learn that behavior in order to survive. But at a point when the business moves faster than that, recycling paper clips actually takes more time than it saves, and it costs more money than it saves. So there is a flip. When and where that changes depends on where you're at on your financial walk, right? When you first get started, you learn the skills of couponing. As you become more proficient at earning money, as you are worth more because of the skills and the experiences that you've trained for, then that trade looks different, right? But I think it's really important that you understand you're always making a trade. Every time you do something, whether you clip a coupon or not, whether you buy something that's really aggressive or speculate or not, you know, crypto or whatever, everything, you're making a trade, one thing for another. And the question you should ask yourself, is it worth it?
Yeah. Okay. So
that to me is the big thing. And the rest of it, yeah. If it's not worth trading your time to manage your money, Matt knows the phone number for the firm and he can tell you.
Does he? I don't think he does, actually.
Should we try it again?
This is your commercial plug, Matt.
5-4
It's going to kill us.
1-375-0898
Yeah.
Are you sure that's the right phone number?
5-4-1 David just had a heart attack. Someone called the paramedics.
We might be fired from the show, actually.
I don't know if we get to do this again. yeah, give us a shout, give us a text, email us at info@littlejohnfs. And the idea is just make good trades. Make good trades with your time, okay? Decide whether or not it's worth it. There's only so many hours in the day. And sometimes what we do is we substitute money, right? You buy your time back. Just make sure that if you're buying your time back, it's worth it. Or if you're trading your time, that it's worth it. So that to me is the key takeaway on this one. And be careful that you're not rationalizing something just because you want it, even though you know better. It's okay to want something. Just, you know, don't be a knucklehead.
I like it.
All right, that's it, guys. Well, in the final 6 seconds, we'll just say thanks for tuning in to the True Wealth Show. Until next time, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
Matt Dixon.
Blake Lynn Allspaugh.
And you've been listening to True Wealth.